to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Well, do we have plenty to get into today? Pelicans get the win, 107-98. You'll hear from Willie Green on the victory. Saints football, it wasn't pretty, but you know what? You're never going to hear from a coach that it's not a good win. We'll hear from head coach Sean Payton here as well. It is also a normal Tuesday in the Sports Hangover, which means it's college football palooza with the head coaches. Head coach Billy Napier of the Cajuns at 12:45. And then at 1:15, head coach Tim Rebo of the Colonels. Willie Fritz of the Tulane Green Wave. He'll actually be in person. Why? I'll tell you about that here in a quick second. Frank Selfo lining up. Another victory for them over on the North Shore. He'll be at 1:45. Eric Alexander coming up at 2:15. And somewhere in between, phone calls, analysis, and of course you'll hear from the locker room after two nice wins. And, you know, it's always nice to have a Monday when you have victories, for sure, when you have teams come out and get wins. First off, obviously, Pelicans finally in the win column. They were 0-3 going into it. Head coach Willie Green, his very first victory.
It is it's just an unbelievable feeling to win in the NBA. It's so hard to do. Proud of our group, proud of our guys, our staff, organization, everyone involved. Like, we just continue to stay with it. And, you know, it takes time, but our group responded tonight.
And no doubt, I know my first guest absolutely probably watched that game, Saints. It wasn't pretty, but they did get the win. 13-10, it's a win. Head coach Sean Payton.
It was a good win. Obviously, always a tough place to play on the road, dealing with the noise. Thought our defense really played well after the one explosive early on. We knew it was going to be one of those games that field position was going to be important, ball security was going to be important, and I think preparing in our mind for what we thought the weather was going to be like. Maybe it wasn't quite that. I've never heard of bomb typhoon, but that kind of gets your attention. And I thought we, for the most part, handled the weather. Kicker did a great job, and I thought in the special teams, the kicking game, we did some good things too. So.
All right, so we'll talk a lot more about those two victories. I'm in the Glazer Club over at Yulman Stadium in Uptown New Orleans, of course, the campus of Tulane University. The Flagpoles, head coach Lisa Stockton, kind of starting to go from right to left, which means a little northerly breeze here. We're going to start getting some wind. It actually is going to start feeling like fall here as well. I'm here, coach, because it's Basketball Media Day. Hard to believe. November, it's next week. We start hooping in 2 weeks. First off, how are you?
I'm good. I'm ready. It's time. It didn't seem like it's that long ago that we were talking about the last game of the season. So we're pumped. We're excited.
Did you watch the game last night?
Of course I did. You know I don't miss the Saints game.
We always
you know
watch.
I don't.
I know. We're on a row. We always look at it. You know, it's interesting because I lost track. I don't know, 25, 30. You've been coaching for a little bit here. A win's never ugly, is it?
No, you take it. The coaches will try to figure out how you can fix some stuff in there, but mm-hmm. It's always easier to sleep after a win.
You know, one of the things, no matter the sport, basketball, football, even baseball, you always have those best laid plans. A lot of times you find out quickly you're just going to have to coach the game in front of you. You see that a lot last season with the basketball team as well. That happens, right, where, hey, these are the plans we're going to have, and then next thing you know, this game's going to go this way, whether it's penalties with the Saints last night, fouls in basketball where you lose a key player or a key scorer or a key rebounder, then all of a sudden you're adjusting on the fly. It's kind of part of the job, isn't it?
I think probably the best quality of a coach is be able to adjust, mm-hmm. You know, make changes and feel confident about the changes, because it's never how you – it always changes. Whether one of your players isn't playing well that you thought would, or but be flexible as a coach and be ready to step up and do something different.
When you hear head coach Sean Payton always touch on, hey, look, you can't have that attitude with all the injuries and things of that nature. You just say it's about focusing and making sure that culture in the locker room, your leaders, and that's how kind of you sustain that. When you look at your basketball team, it's, again, sort of a roster that we've seen the last two seasons. You have a very veteran-laden roster, don't you?
It is. It's fun. You know, it's fun to have a lot of veterans that have been out there and that are tremendously competitive, and that's been fun. We've got so many parts mm-hmm. and we got so many pieces, and I've really enjoyed that.
And then there's always, of course, the off season where you get new players come in, new recruits, and now in the world of college athletics, transfers. Transfers is something that I guess you can help and depend on here as well. We've seen that success in the last couple of seasons, and there might be one that got a little attention earlier today in Media Day.
Right. She did. You know, Moonerson certainly got some attention, and that was you look up there and you have Sue Clark and you got Moonerson with me up there, and both of them were transfers in. So mm-hmm. it can really tell you what kind of transfers you can get in and help your program. But yeah, it's so great that, that the local girl is getting some attention here. And I think Moon is just so excited to be back and, I mean, to be home. And as she said, you know, the food's good here. She really loves it.
Obviously from Destrehan, you had your eye on her back in the day before she went to Baylor.
We've had our eye on her since she was like a ninth grader. I don't even know how young, but she was a talented player then. I think she was 3-time Gatorade Player of the Year in the state. I mean, it was ridiculous. It was gaudy, really. But again, went to Baylor, and just glad that COVID year just – not only did it bring us our seniors back, which I'm so grateful for them to be here and all four of them back, but also to bring her in and add to our group. It's been fun, and I'm just so excited about how they've all meshed. You bring a player like that was all Big 12 mm-hmm. and comes in, how's your team going to respond? And they have been amazing. And she's made it easy too because she's come in and trying to learn from them and just very humble. Those kind of attitudes, you can build a team out of that. And I think that's what's been fun so far.
Speak with head coach Lisa Stockton, head coach Ron Hunter of the men's team will be joining us here before the end of the show. Got plenty to get into. But coach, with your roster, and you're talking about a player coming in like that, infusion of energy as well as that experience?
Experience, energy, but also just kind of everyone trying to elevate a little bit mm-hmm. to go. They know she's won a national championship and they know what level she's played on. I think it's really helped them. I think Sue Clark is playing the best basketball I've seen her play. I think Crystal Freeman's playing so relaxed and playing really well. Dinah Jones too. I think all of them have really elevated and, you know, some of that is where they are in their career, but some of it is, I think they've got a player like that kind of shows them how to do it.
You know, you mentioned Sue Clark, and I'm thinking of since her time here, when she first got here, you kind of needed her to be a scorer, and she became one of those top scorers there, kind of going back and forth with, you know, Crystal Freeman. And the last year, I sort of felt her defensive game kind of really stepped up. Leadership as well sort of stepped up. And I just kind of remember moments in those games that wasn't maybe a big shot, like a game winner back in Washington a couple of years ago and such. It's maybe stepping up and making that key defensive player rebound. Have you seen her game evolve?
Definitely. Toward the end of last season, we moved her to the point just because we felt like that we could get some different players on the court if we mm-hmm. moved her to the point guard position. She didn't love it. She definitely wants to play professionally, so it's going to help her there. But she's played point pretty much the whole fall, and I think that's been great. I love the evolution of her game. I think she is a scorer. She's a great rebounder. She finds people. I think you look last year, she was probably one of our leading assist players, even mm-hmm. though she could score. Fouls drawn, she's probably one of the top three in the conference on fouls drawn. So just so many parts of her game that are fun to watch.
Yeah, that is definitely one of the stats I follow during the season. It's a disparity of about 40 to 50 right. free throws between her and everybody else. So Moonerson comes in. She's a transfer. You have another transfer, though, as well. What can you tell us about Marta?
Well, Marta is from San Francisco, University of San Francisco, and just, again, an international player, can shoot, good size, good athleticism, brings some energy. When you talk about someone that hustles and brings energy, really good rebounder, I think it's really exciting to have her. She finished college in 3 years. She's got 3 years to play. She's getting her MBA, so she's not smart or anything. but yes, yeah, she's added that. Again, we've got a transfer, Kaya from Southern Miss, who is really a freshman again. So mm-hmm. I look at her future and what that can be. So, you know, some of them have come in and just brought a little new approach, but again, you take a Kayla Anderson and a Sierra Cheatham, they've had so many minutes. They know our system so well. They're both shooting the ball really well. So we've got tremendous depth, and how we're going to use it, I think we're going to have to just see how things play out. But we've got some options, and that's coaches always like options.
So last season was the first season in conference without UConn. How was it when you look at it from that perspective? You can think of maybe how the conference is going to sort of play out. Obviously, you play the season to see how teams wind up being and everything. But going into now another year without that, does it change your recruiting? Does it change your approach to even think about it?
Well, we definitely think about it because last year we all felt like we could win it. Mm-hmm. And we all felt like we could compete for the top. And let's face it, when UConn was in our league, they were number one in the nation.
Right.
And the people weren't beating them. They had the 104 game win streak or something.
We almost had them here one time.
We almost had them. Almost had them. But, we definitely, it's a different feel. Mm-hmm. And I can talk to this team. We can compete for a conference championship. Last year we came very close to beating South Florida, which is a team you need to beat. This year, we feel much better about it and with what we've added and how we've improved. So I definitely believe these seniors, they don't always verbalize it, but I got to get them to do it. They came back to win a championship. They came back to make the tournament mm-hmm. and, definitely can do it. I think this team can, if they rally together and we can play consistently and avoid injuries, I think we can really make a run.
I got to imagine, Coach, the more you've done it, the more you've been around it, the more comfortable you are. And you mentioned, such a veteran team. You mentioned one of your transfers, obviously, and Moon having won a national championship. I can't imagine you're going to be phased by too many late game situations or, you know, big game moments or come February and March where you need a win. That's got to help from your standpoint as a coach, too. I mean, do you coach a little differently, kind of knowing I should have a group that's been here before?
Well, you definitely prepare differently because you feel like you have a lot of options. I mean, you look at us and, I mean, I could say that you got four players on there that can put up 20 any night, and mm-hmm. there could be more. I mean, when you look at Moon, you look at Sue, you look at Crystal, and Dinah Jones, all of them have done it. And then you've got some other players that can really step up. I mean, Sierra can get shooting well. So the nice thing, like offensively, being able to score at the end of a game, they can't stop just one player. For us defensively, we're faster than we've been. I think our defense can be better than it's been. And that makes you feel better if you have to hold somebody at the end of a game. So this, and they're smart. There is something that experience brings you. That experience you can click in. You can say, this is, we're down the stretch. They're not as nervous. They don't feel like everything depends on one play. So the maturity is going to make a big difference for us.
I know one of the things, Coach, two more with head coach Lisa Stockton here, that you like to do is to test your team early before you get into conference play. We'll be at Alabama, second game of the year, and the trip up to Baton Rouge is always a fun one with a coach that pretty much a lot of people sort of know here. Right. Well, what's that sort of been like here in the state and just knowing that that's going to be a game that's going to be probably fun, to say the least, to play?
Well, it's always fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we
really is.
I definitely think in this day and time where you don't have as many rivals as you used to because mm-hmm. conferences have changed and all of that. I definitely think interstate rivals like that are fun. And, they've got a great team up there. It happens to be a year we're going to them, but, you know, that's always fun. And I'll be honest, I learned this from year one here. It's fun for our fans. I mean, they love it and they make that trip. But yeah, we've got Miami away, which I think they're going to have a really good team. We've got Alabama. You got Troy, who really is going to have a great team this year. They, mm-hmm. they almost beat A&M last year in the NCAA tournament. And we got a tough schedule, and I think that's going to make us better, but I think that can help us in our strength of schedule and all that. But if we didn't challenge this team, I don't think we could be as good as we are, as we're going to be, and we're definitely excited about it.
Yeah, I always wonder when you're thinking of those games before you get into conference play, there's that balance, right? You want to get those wins against those high-ranked opponents because at the end of the day, it may be the difference whether or not you go dancing or not.
Definitely. And those are significant. And you never know which ones those are going to be. It might be LSU. It might be Troy. It might be Southeastern. You just don't know what those will be. And so you definitely have to get ready for that. I think that the other thing I like is that I do think we're confident. I don't think I worry about this team's confidence. I think they've got a little swagger to them, mm-hmm. which sometimes we haven't had. And I think that maybe you'll see that even if we have a loss that we don't feel like we should have had, I think they'll bounce back quickly.
Coach, final question for you. How's the American look this year? I mean, obviously, you're South
Tough.
Florida, right?
Most people got their team back, and they got transfers in. So I definitely think it's going to be as good or better. Mm-hmm. South Florida was loaded last year and has added to it, so they may be even better. I think right now they're one of the top 15 teams in the country, easy,
okay.
if not higher. Central Florida has everyone back. You know, they had a really good year last year, an NCAA team. Houston has most everyone back. They'll be good. Temple. And then you're going to have teams like Wichita State that last year just got crushed by COVID that were really talented, right, just couldn't ever get it going. It'll be a different year for them, but I think it's going to be really good top to bottom. And, you know, don't sleep on our league. I think they'll surprise a lot of teams.
You were talking about what? It's two teams that are ranked or could be ranked. Right. So it could be more. So that kind of leads us to what kind of season it'll be. It'll be fun. What's the overall expectation? Is it dancing? Is that the goal?
Always, but yes, right, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think this team can make it the NCAA tournament, definitely. But I'm greedy. I want a championship. I really do. I think these kids have been really great with the program. You got four seniors and another one coming in, and you know this is their time to get a ring. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to keep pushing them for that because I don't know that they really, like I said, I don't know if we verbalize it enough, but we need to because that needs to be our expectation.
I like that. Well, we get started here Tuesday, November 9th against Southeastern. So see you then.
All right.
Head coach Lisa Stockton, as always, if you want to give them a follow over on Twitter, it's at GreenWaveWBB, TulaneGreenWave.com as well, the team's athletic website. We'll hear from head coach Ron Hunter from the men's side of things at some point during the show. He's got practice going on, so we'll try to get him here in a little bit. Quick break. We come back. Let's get going. 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA. Saints get the win 13-10. Ugly or not, who cares? You're 4-2 with two major injury news has taken place already this morning. The team hasn't even left there. I think they're probably in the air. They're coming in this afternoon and landing, so they stayed overnight. We'll tell you about the two injury news that's pretty big. Two players possibly lost for the season. That's next on ESPN New Orleans.
Toyota is currently open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily
and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles.
If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com. GregLeBlancToyota.com. We are home strong.
El Paso Mexican Grill and Steakhouse, Highway 1 in Raceland, features fantastic, authentic Mexican food and steaks. They have great lunch specials Monday to Fridays, plus enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. And on Fridays, it's 2-for-1 margaritas from open to close, plus live music on Friday evenings. El Paso Mexican Food and Steakhouse on Highway 1 Raceland.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodaux, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
State Farm offers surprisingly great rates on auto insurance, but what does that mean? Surprising. This often means something comes out of nowhere, like finding that $20 bill in your dryer. Great? Well, obviously great means superior. Rates? Simply what one pays in exchange for something. And in this case, that something is State Farm being there when you need them most. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements.
When you want the real deal, call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios in Cutoff.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
We knew that crew was calling the most coming into this game by far, both on offense and defensive fouls. And sure enough, you know, I don't know what the totals were, but there were a lot of fouls called.
Oh boy. Yeah, to say the least. You know what? Let's just get that out the way. That's roughing the passer call, and I'm using air quotes, might have been one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. Thankfully, I still don't buy this, but head coach Sean Payton spoke after the game on the explanation on that. As you saw, Davenport hit Geno Smith's right arm. That's not roughing the passer. Well, here's coach afterwards.
Yeah, his was not roughing the passer. It was a helmet to helmet on the pass rush. So I don't think anyone was looking for that. And Sean explained it, and certainly I wasn't looking for it either. But that's what the foul was.
Well, I didn't see that either. I don't know if anybody else saw that. I have asked. I went back. I looked back. Did anybody see a helmet-to-helmet during that pass rush? Please, somebody, show it, snap it to me, or call me and tell me that there was, because I absolutely didn't see that at all, much less roughing the passer. That officiating crew was something else. I mean, I'm not that guy. I am not that guy where I feel the officials are out to get you. And I'm going to play the bite later on. It's much longer. But Coach Payton said they knew. They're the top of the league in flags. Join the intern. Thank you for joining us here this morning, sir. QOD. Question of the day. On a day where both New Orleans teams win a much-needed victory for the Pelicans, so we'll hear from them this hour, and also head coach Sean Payton and several other players, Alvin Kamara, DeMario Davis, who's a monster. Valanciunas was a monster. You had dual monster nights yesterday, Jordan. How are you today, this Tuesday?
Early this morning to go walking for my walking class, and couldn't be doing any better.
Yeah, I was going to say, normally Mondays stink, right? But when you get two victories like that, and quite honestly, two wins that sort of show, I guess, some character building, to be honest with you, right? We'll get to the Pels here at the bottom of the hour, but to come back and win that way, to see some of the new additions really make some key plays, Brandon Ingram being your guy that makes big shots there as well, I think that was awesome to see. And again, Valanciunas was a monster. But when you look at that Saints game, and we'll hear it here from the locker room, they thought it was going to be a much tougher game than maybe perhaps a lot of people did. I know Saints Twitter last night and a lot of people that cover the team were saying, this is a bad defense. Why are they playing so good? But Jordan, it's sports. When you have a team whose backer's against the wall, you look at Arizona, they're undefeated at 7-0. The Rams are up there at 6-0. Like, they had to win that game. You knew you were going to get their best shot, and I think you did. And quite honestly, one thing, we always talk about this, your top takeaways from the game, one's very simple. There's Alvin Kamara and there's everybody else at the skill position for the New Orleans Saints. Goodness gracious, can somebody step up or play better at the receiver or tight end position? It is an absolute atrocity what happened last night at the skill position other than Alvin Kamara. Am I overreacting on that?
No, you're completely right. I texted you. He's going to get hurt at some point or another time. I mean, he can't keep the amount of work that he's been putting week in and week out on his body. And I just don't think it's possible. So, yeah, someone does have to step up if you want to keep Alvin Kamara, you know, available for the entire season.
Alvin Kamara, the amount of touches?
I ain't know what to expect. All I know is what we game plan for and what we did during the week. And, you know, every game has a life of its own. So that was just the flavor of this week. Ended up getting a lot of touches.
20 carries, 51 yards, that's on the ground. In the air, 10 receptions for 128 yards, including that touchdown. By the way, all of the totals and numbers put him now at 3,000 yards receiving, 3,000 yards rushing. That's the fastest back to ever do that in the NFL. It took him 66 games. This just in, he's good. By the way, Jordan, I don't know if you saw this or heard this after the game. The touchdown in which Jameis Winston, you know, dropped the ball, picked it up, calmly found Alvin Kamara. Listen to the explanation
of the basically of the game.
Yeah, listen to the explanation from AK.
He dropped the ball. Oh no, I didn't see that. No, I didn't see it. But I just defensively, I mean, they played a little zone look, I just had a gang of space, so it was really I didn't even run the route that I was supposed to run. I just sat in a little void and kind of got the ball and scored. So adjustments, huh? It was really like an angle in and then back out. But I kind of went in and saw that I had the cushion and just stayed right there, and then made it happen.
It was that kind of a night. But you know what, Jordan, are you surprised? Because we played sound bites all last week of these players saying how prepared they are. You'll hear later from Alvin Kamara talking about that third down call, where I don't know if you were watching the Manning cast. I tweeted, if you didn't watch the final drive for the Saints and Manning cast on ESPN2, Drew Brees was with them. And that poor guy was dying watching the decision making, watching the play calling, watching the lack of plays being made, the drops. You could see him. You gave a side eye on the play where Jameis Winston had a tight end screen for a touchdown. It was crazy, man, when you look at it like that. It was nuts. So, but did you watch the Manning cast with Brees commentating?
I think I caught halfway through when he was going on. I think I caught the second half, but I did see that play that you were talking about when the tight end was open, and there was basically three blockers ahead of him.
It was a train.
In the way of seven.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, there you go. So did you give the QODs? I forgot. I've been talking too much. Did you give the QODs?
No, I have not yet.
So go ahead, sir.
After every Saints game weekend or Saints game day, like we had Monday, Tuesday's question of the day, Saints fans, give us your game ball, pat on the back, and you need to have a seat next to the coach, the Saints over the Seattle Seahawks, 13-10. You can comment at ESPN Radio NOLA over on Twitter or call in 800-998-1003. And the other question of the day has to deal with your New Orleans Pelicans getting their first win of the season. Willie Green's first win as a head coach, 107-98 over the Minnesota Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. Just give us your take on the victory, who stood out to you in that win Monday night. And again, you could comment at ESPN Radio NOLA over on Twitter.
Jordan, there's so much to take out of that game last night, when you think about it, honestly. Obviously, what Alvin Kamara did on offense and finding a way to win. Kicker Brian Johnson coming in and making his kicks, especially on the heels of the two bits of information this morning on the injury front. That's not good. Kicker Will Lutz has posted that he suffered a setback in trying to get back. He's done. He's shutting it down for the 2021 season. So it's Brian Johnson from here on out. And also, Ian Rappaport reporting this morning that Andres Pete, you saw him leave the game, feared to have suffered a torn pec. So Pete is waiting on MRI results to confirm the potential season-ending injury, he tweets, but that's based on the initial exams. Throckmorton came in for him. Throckmorton's been playing right guard in the absence of McCoy, who came back yesterday in Armstead for a brief moment there. Jordan, you actually had the starting offensive line for the New Orleans Saints, and you saw the difference. You saw how good they could be. I mean, they protected Jameis Winston for the most part last night, and you saw the ability to be able to do more if the receivers would catch the ball and tight end would fumble the ball after a catch. You might actually have bigger plays, but it just stinks. Look, I call him the Matador. I call him the Matador. So there's a lot to be left of that, but he is a starter, and to have him now gone for the season – you know, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, though, being a Saints fan with the way this year has gone, huh?
No. I mean, that Andres Pete contract has to be one of the worst contracts ever for the New Orleans Saints, huh? I mean, I don't think I've seen him play an entire game, almost ever. I feel like he's got to be out for some of the plays, either with, like, an injury or a tweaked ankle or something's wrong with him during the game.
Well, I'll say this. A lot of Saints beat reporters are going after fans that are responding to the news with, well, is it really a loss and all that? Look at it like this. Throckmorton's now your starter. Well, who's Throckmorton, right? Like, who's the depth? So if you lose a starter, your depth now becomes a starter. You got to find additional depth on that. It's something we're going to talk about the rest of the week because obviously the next up game for the New Orleans Saints is Halloween night, Sunday, 3:25 kickoff against the Buccaneers. Jordan, quickly, you have to go find a receiver, huh? Or a backup running back. I mean, look, I know Dwayne Washington was out yesterday. Look, you're still waiting for Tony Jones Jr., but to your point with AK, I mean, you're playing the team built and designed defensively to stop Alvin Kamara, and that's Lavonte David, who's expected to be back, and Devin White. You know who that is.
Yep.
So I'm watching that game last night and going, I don't know if they're going to score against Tampa Bay. I mean, like, I'm being honest. Look, I was trying to get the benefit of the doubt to Tre'Quan Smith. At least he caught a ball on that last drive, and it went back to him. But goodness gracious, I mean, I don't even know. Look, you know what? I was told if I don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything. Actually, no. You know what I'm going to say? What was that? I mean, at this far along in your career, wow. And you know what? I'm going to say this. I loved seeing Jameis Winston light into him on the sideline. And if you notice in the video, and everyone's captured the GIF now and has it, Jameis Winston, the big eyes and doing that, he's going to get the attention. You know what I saw in that video, Jordan? Sean Payton looked back, see what was happening, turn right back around. And he's like, take care of it. Jameis Winston, for him to be the quarterback, to be the captain, to be a leader, he's got to do stuff like that. And he has every right to do that. I get it's his first game back, but dude, you got to wake up. Like, I mean, that was inexcusable. And you saw in the beginning of the game, they went to him and he had an opportunity to do that. And he just couldn't catch the ball. He just looked like his first game. And I understand it's his first game, but in a game like that, you got to make plays. I don't know. Am I being too hard on Tre'Quan Smith here?
No, I mean, he's been in the league for 4 years. He's, you know, one of your starting wide receivers. When you come back, I'm sure Michael Thomas is going to kind of pick up right where he left off when he does come back to the starting roster, and he kind of needs to. This team wants to go anywhere this season, those wide receivers are going to have to step up, even coming back from their first game. So they should be completely ready to have enough time to rest, get their bodies healthy. I think they should be coming out in full force and not be making those mistakes.
Yeah, doesn't make much sense to me to see how that went. So anyway, there are two questions of the day, real simple. Saints fans, give us your game ball, pat on the back, and he needs to have a seat next to Coach. Who are you seating next to Coach? Is it Tre'Quan? Or is it Marcus Williams with another incredible safety play? Let me tell you something. That guy played that play like he didn't want to hit Metcalf. I mean, I don't know how. Why are you slowing down and stopping? You're going full speed. You have the right angle. Pelee him out of bounds. I have no idea why he stutter stepped, waited, and just watched Metcalf go right by him. I was so angry watching that play. And by the way, Mr. Metcalf, the blue-haired booger. I don't. I felt bad for Lattimore because, yes, you always get the person that retaliates. But what do you want him to do when the guy is repeatedly boxing at his head? I mean, where's the hands to the face? Where's the illegal contact? I mean, you cannot just keep grabbing people's face masks, slapping the helmet, two hands shoving his face mask. I thought, Jordan, that's hands to the face. And they do call that on offense, right? I thought that's hands to the face. I've seen offensive linemen get called hands to the face. I've seen receivers blocking hands to the face. But apparently, you can walk up to a defensive back, absolutely bat him on the side of the head, all about player safety here, and that's okay. I don't know. I just thought that officiating crew was disgraceful. I thought it was absolutely like you were battling the Zebras as well.
There was definitely a little bit of, you know, chippiness. There was a battle inside of the game. Marcus Callaway kind of talked about just kind of the trash talking that was, you know, going on by both sides. I'm sure you'll get to that later in the show. But, hey, there was some stuff that, you know, the TVs didn't catch.
It was something else. And you know what, though? Cam Jordan, I thought, said it best when it came to that. And on Metcalf, I want to play this and we'll go to the break.
I think... How do I PC this one? I think that, you know, when they're trying to create a tougher identity than what they are, that's where you get a lot of more chippery talk. But again, we go back to our basis. We play the football that we want to play. And I think it takes care of itself. We still had a lot of penalties and we can clear that up. And that could have ended up hurting us more than it did.
By the way, for all the BS that DK Metcalf did, he caught that one ball for 84 yards, right, Jordan? Got that touchdown. He had 5 targets. You know how many receptions he had on the night? 2. So there you go. 2 receptions for all that talking and all those 15 yards. Congratulations on that. All right, Jordan, we'll check in with you in a little bit, man. Got plenty of sound to get into here. And, of course, next hour, Tim Rebo, Willie Fritz, Frank Selfo coming up at the 45-minute. You definitely want to hear my interview with Billy Napier, head coach of the Raging Cajuns. We're at Yeoman Stadium. It's Basketball Media Day. We had head coach Lisa Stockton on to lead the show off. At some point in the 2 o'clock hour, Ron Hunter is going to stop by, head coach of the men's team. Basketball around the corner, folks, here as well. So plenty to get into. I'm going to shush. We'll be back on ESPN New Orleans. The next stop that we make will be
the Rouse's Markets in Golden Meadow is back open. The Rouse's family wants to thank everyone that worked so tirelessly to get the store back open to serve our community. Thank you to Rouse's Markets team members who worked at the store every day. Thank you to Rouse's Markets facilities and construction crews. Thank you to Rouse's Markets vendor partners. And thank you, our loyal customers. Rouse's Market in Golden Meadow, now open 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day.
Terrebonne General Health System Community Sports Institute is recognized for outstanding service and contributions to Terrebonne Parish. We provide a certified athletic trainer to every Terrebonne Parish High School. We also provide concussion baseline testing to over 1,400 student athletes annually, along with CPR and AED certification to over 500 area coaches at both the schools and the recreation departments. We are proud to be your trusted resource in keeping our community safe. Visit tghealthsystem.com.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-511-3535. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider, 800-511-3535. That's 800-511-3535. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-511-3535.
Can we talk?
Talk sports.
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
That's a sign of a team that eventually you know how to win and to win and to win and to win, and that becomes everything.
That might be one of my favorite things that I've ever heard head coach Sean Payton speak about. Welcome back to the Sports Hangover at GCAT_17. And give a follow over on Twitter at ESPN Radio NOLA to give your thoughts on the Saints game yesterday, the win 13-10. We'll talk some Pels here as well as they finally get their first win of the season. 107-98 at Minnesota. They'll take on Atlanta tomorrow at the Smoothie King Center. Look, it wasn't pretty. And we can absolutely focus and will and talk about over the next couple of days about the offense and lack of playmaking from the skill position players. The receivers have got to do better. I don't know what else to say. You've got to catch the balls. It hinders your quarterback from getting into a rhythm. And there were some plays left on the field. At the same time, seeing Jameis Winston go there and take off and run on a couple of those plays is something he hadn't done in a couple of those games. He did very well in that Green Bay game. I wish he did it more. Alvin Kamara touched on after the game when he was asked about Winston and his scrambling ability. He was like, hey, look, I know that he can do that, and he should do it more.
Yeah, I mean, he could do it. I'm not surprised. I'm just like, don't get hit. Like, go, because he teeter on the edge a little bit. Like, he might keep running and get hit. Like, so I'm like, man, just go down. But I mean, he can make plays like that, man. He got heart, and he kind of got a knack for it. You know, I feel like he can do it more. But when he does, I mean, I'm happy. I know something good gonna happen.
I thought he showed incredible calm. When the snap comes, goes off his hands, picks it up, sticks with it. Obviously, the play was in front of him. It did help Alvin Kamara, you know, going towards the right there. And you heard Alvin say he didn't even run the right route. He just kind of read the field. And Jameis was able to deliver a nice ball to him. Winston on that play.
Yeah, it was a great call. And I'm happy he was able to get in there.
There you go. Jameis was short and brief yesterday. And I think a lot of it was because if you watch the Manning cast in particular, they talked about that play before they kicked the eventual game-winning field goal. He had a touchdown. Juwan Johnson, tight end screen, great call. And if you saw at the end, right before they went to commercial, you see Sean Payton walk right up to him and go, what happened? And Peyton Manning was hilarious. He goes, if you read lips, he goes, I bleeped up. And in the word starts with F. And you saw him on the sideline looking at the tablet, looking at the, you know, the photos of that play. And, I mean, it's clear as day. You had several blockers in one spot. There was a rusher that came in immediately. It disrupted it. But Peyton, Drew, Eli were all like, you got to find a way to get him the ball, jump pass, move out the way. Drew immediately said, you got to step into the pocket. Like, he was looking at it some way. It was gut-wrenching almost watching Drew Brees on that drive for the winning field goal. He was just, he kept quiet a lot. And you could see and tell that he was really wanting, you know, didn't want to say too much on there. Peyton was trying. He's like, tell me what play is going to come. And then finally he was kind of starting to give you an idea what was going on there. Look, along the lines of what Jordan's saying, most games, most teams, you can lean on AK. This Sunday, if the Saints do not get play, better play from their receivers and tight end position, it is going to be a Bucks-Bears game. I don't know how else to tell you that. I know we can say, we had a caller yesterday say the Bucks haven't played anybody. I understand that there's still four TDs. Well, you know, it's just time. We played them last year. This is not the same team. The Saints do not have Jared Cook, who y'all couldn't stand, who had seven TDs last year. The Saints do not have Emmanuel Sanders. The Saints don't have Josh Hill. The Saints don't have a lot of the different players on the offensive side that helped last year. They don't. This is a completely different offense, and it's not a very good one at the skill position right now. That's not ripping Callaway. That's not saying that look, I'm just telling you what you're seeing it. They're not getting open, and more importantly, they're not catching it when it comes their way. And if you're Adam Trautman, I'm just telling you, a season after Jared Cook dropped a first down and still has people suffering from PTSD in the playoff game against the Buccaneers, you probably don't want to do that. Not that he did it on purpose, I get it. But that just can't happen. It just can't happen. Here's Jameis Winston on leaning on AK.
Yeah, I talk about how great of a player he is and how healthy he is to this offense just in general. AK is one of the most dominant players in this league. So it's always exciting when you put the ball in his hands and watch the things that he does.
Again, though, being able to come up with this victory, I just think is massively important. And finding a way to not only make a play or two on offense enough to get that. And again, credit Brian Johnson for coming in and kicking the game winner and, you know, kicking his kicks to go. Here's what he had to say afterwards.
Without a doubt. No, yeah, it was unreal feeling. Couldn't have kind of ridden up better myself.
The other thing, too, is the weather was not nearly as bad as we had predicted, hoped, or actually hoped that wouldn't be. It really honestly wasn't, like the rain and all that stuff. The wind, that was a little different per Brian.
It was tough trying to see what the wind was doing because it was changing constantly throughout pregame and the game itself. So kind of just sticking with my plan that I had coming into it and really focusing on just hitting my ball and hitting good contact that will cut through kind of the wind that's given to me, whatever's going to be out there and stuff. So rain, I'm not as concerned about rain as I am wind. I'll focus on the wind more than the rain.
Yeah, no doubt. Alvin Kamara said it best.
I mean, it's cool. It's definitely a nice environment. I mean, every time we come up here, the weather's shitty, but other than that, it's cool.
I love that. So, look, again, you found a way. And to me, one of the things that Cam Jordan said after the game I thought was key here as well. It's not always going to be pretty. And again, that's a team backs against the wall. I mean, they're seasoned. They're not catching the Cardinals or the Rams, right? That likely a season like this probably means deuces for Russell Wilson next year. I mean, that was a game you had to have. And you knew that. And again, you were facing literally the worst referee and crew in the NFL. I mean, if you ask me. So get out of there. Get out of there with the win. And get healthy. David Onyemata is now officially back. You're hopefully going to get some other players here as well. Marcus Davenport, you got five sacks. There was a lot of positive things on the defensive side of the football. Here's Cam Jordan.
In the grand scheme of things, at the end of the day, it's about getting this win. Again, I think it's a great confidence builder. I think, you know, as we get healthier, even on the offensive side of the ball, we saw Teron come back. You saw Traquan come back. Defensive side of the ball, you saw Quan get back to the field. We have some talent that is still coming back. And so hopefully we're only going to get stronger from here. As much fun as we had tonight, I think there's still a lot of places we can clean stuff up. We did let an explosive go. And had we not, I think we could have held them to a lower score than what they had.
Now, you heard him say that. And at first I was like, what? Oh, Quan Alexander did get on the field. He recorded a tackle, solo tackle. He did not start. Pete Werner did. He had 6 tackles, 5 assists. So when Quan Alexander's your depth now, maybe you're trying to work him in slowly. Let's see what happens this week. But that's going to be an interesting storyline. Quan Alexander was healthy enough to play yesterday. He got in. He had a tackle. Pete Werner got the majority of those snaps, though. That's interesting. But, again, he's been playing very well. But when Quan Alexander is your depth, yeah, look, Johnny said it best. He just texted me. If you had any weapons on offense right now, I'd say absolutely this team's a playoff team. I still think they're a potential playoff team. Michael Thomas needs to get back. Some of the other guys just got to step up. I don't know what to say. I mean, you can only get so many people. I don't know who you could go trade for right now. The trade deadline is November 2nd. I don't know who you can try to go find sitting on the couch that's going to come in. I mean, you did that already with Kenny Stills. They have to produce. I don't know what else to say. And right now, yeah, you got to draft a wide receiver next year, right? Quick break. When we come back, you hear my conversation with head coach Billy Napier. But first, let me tell you about, of course, you heard me speak with head coach Lisa Stockton. Ron Hunter's going to talk to us later in hour number 3. Basketball is back. That's the college ranks. But if you're talking about the pros, hey, don't forget DraftKings. You can make a little money off of 3-pointers, rebounds, assists, and more. Download the app, DraftKings. Put in the code LaRose, and away you go. Gives you a free shot at millions in total prizes with that first deposit. Minimum $5. So it doesn't cost you anything, really. When you look at it like that, we can make more, especially when you have the potential of millions. DraftKings is safe, secure, reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So go give it a try and do it when it comes to basketball. Quick break. When we come back, you'll hear my conversation with head coach Billy Napier of the Raging Cajuns. Towards the end of that interview, you're going to like what you hear, and it's why you hear me say flat out, he should be the next head coach at LSU. Just my opinion. Just listen to the end of the interview, and you'll see what I mean. So Sports Hangover next on ESPN New Orleans.
All right, I'm back. It's fall savings times at Barker Kia, which means you can save on our entire lineup of new Kias. These Kias are packed with value and technology. Best of all, these new Kias come with our famously low Barker Kia price. Take a look at the all-new Ultra Sporty 2022 Kia K5, a rebellious design built to rule the road with an 8-inch touchscreen and lane-keeping technology that all comes standard. Or drive home in a new 2022 Kia Sorento, the third-row 7-seat SUV that comes standard with family favorite features like smartphone integration. And of course, we have to mention the all-new Kia Carnival MPV, the SUV-inspired van as a radical departure from the usual. Now that says it all. So come save during the fall savings time at Barker Kia and get our famously low Barker Kia price. And you know all these new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. That's Barker Kia and Homer, or shop online at BarkerKia.com. Come see me, people.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. See Kia.com or retailer for details.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Welcome back. We've missed you. We know it's been tough. Because rebuilding your business isn't for the faint of heart. Your business needs a jump start. And we're here to help. Introducing Surge, symmetrical speed fiber internet from Etel Business. Revved up data speeds at 30% off, plus 3 months free. We're glad you're back, and we're here to make your business surge. Etel Business.
Offer valid on 3-year contract for 2 or more business services.
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
All right, as always on Tuesdays, when they don't have a Tuesday or Thursday game, I speak with head coach Billy Napier of the Raging Cajuns. This was my interview. Recorded earlier this morning.
All right, here with head coach Billy Napier, and as always, appreciate the time, sir. And it feels like we haven't chatted in a while. It's kind of because you guys have been dealing with an interesting schedule. I guess the best part about it, though, coach, is you keep piling on the wins.
Yeah, Gus, thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate your coverage of our team, and certainly we're right in the middle of the grind here. Thursday night game, and a little bit of a 10-day turnaround here to play again, so I appreciate you having us on today.
Is it better to, or is it nice to, I guess, have somewhat sense of a normal week, or at least a couple of extra days? Because I got to imagine playing Tuesday, Thursday, things of that nature too, Coach. It's maybe taxing on the body a bit at this point in the season.
You know, I would say you just got to kind of get into a certain mode. You know, like what day is it? You know, I mean, today for us, is actually a Wednesday format, given the way that we're working this week. So, we try to compartmentalize things, declare it a certain work day. Those are well defined, you know, in terms of what we do throughout the day. And then, you know, the days that are a little bit different, you know, you just come up with some objectives in terms of the things that you need to get accomplished. And then it's good for the players at times to have a break. And then you also, the reverse of that is you have some 5-day turnaround. So it's been unique. You know, this year in particular has been more, different than normal. So far so good, you know, trying to keep this thing rolling.
Speaking with head coach Billy Napier, as his team is 6-1, and coach, last victory came on that Thursday night, 28-27. And speaking with some folks that cover the team, Jay Walker, voice of the Cajuns, he expected that was going to be a tough game. And if I had a chance to talk to you, probably were going to tell me, don't look at that record. You knew it was going to be a tough one, and it turned out to be, right?
Yeah, I think, Arkansas State, first-year staff, very capable personnel, not only a good group of returning players, but they added probably 25 transfers to their team. So I think they're in the middle of kind of that evolution of a team in the first year. They did have an open date. I thought the quarterback played well. They gave us a lot of new wrinkles. All three phases of the game early caused us to have to adjust a little bit. But in general, you know, you go to Jonesboro, it's always going to be a challenge. You know, history would tell you that. You know, it's a very impressive place, man. They've done a terrific job with that place up there. So, Paul Butch had his team ready to play. They played with great effort. It was a physical game on both sides. A lot of situational football. But, yeah, we found a way to win.
Coach, one of the ways to find a way to win is to overcome sometimes how the game is unfolding. And obviously no coach wants turnovers or things that happen. And it kind of helped from that standpoint to make it a closer game. But when you're in a game like that and you know it's a back-and-forth battle, does it help knowing that maybe your team sort of has been in games like that already?
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I think that's probably one of the things I was most impressed with was, you know, I thought our kids, independent of the staff, really kept their poise. We've got a veteran group that really understands, you know, what's going on out there, why maybe we've made some mistakes, you know, technically what they're doing, what we need to do to fix it. It's impressive to be a part of. So, we played in 16 one-score games since we've been here. And, you know, a lot of these players have been a part of that. So there's no question. I think that experience helps you. And then, you know, I think just overall awareness, right, and just the ability to understand what's happening. I think sometimes if you don't understand why things are maybe a little bit up and down, you tend to get emotional and out of control. So our group stayed poised. We made adjustments. We continue to, do the things required in the game. But you're right about the turnovers. You know, two second half turnovers. I really had a chance to get the game under control, but gave them some momentum. So things I'm hopeful we can learn from.
Speak with head coach Billy Napier. What are those turnovers, coach? Game's 24-21, get an interception. 6 plays later, they get that field goal, 27-21. I'm going to get to the drive, and you know what I'm talking about here. But the fact that your defense then doesn't let them score from that point on. Couple of punts gives your team an opportunity, even though you punted as well, to get that football back and never let go. Just kind of touch on the defense there, kind of bucking up there, knowing that, hey, you're going to have to get a couple of possessions here to try to come back and win.
Yeah, no doubt. Was probably the biggest turn of events in the game. We throw an interception, and the defense on the short field goes out, causes them to have to kick a field goal, keeps it within range, right? And then quickly we turn around and take a lead. So, you know, our defense played good run defense. We played really good on third down. You know, we gave up a few explosive passes in the game, but overall, a good day there, you know, and certainly some really good situational football stepping up to the plate, you know, in a critical moment. So we had some really standout individual performances as well.
Coach, you had some big runs help you. The score to put you ahead, a 74-yard run and a 99-yard run by Montrell Johnson back in the second quarter. In this day and age of college football, where it almost seems like it's five wideouts, it's motion, it's tempo, it's snapping quickly, to have big play ability out of the ground game, how important is that for you as a coach?
Well, we'd like to think it's, you know, how we've put our team together. You know, I think, we try to play team football. You know, I mean, I think our team is made up of offense, defense, and game changers. And I don't necessarily think that we're maybe above, in one area or the other, right? I think we're the sum of the parts type of team this year. But on offense, I think we've got some terrific young backs. Some have finishing speed, you know, as you could see the other night. So we take pride in getting them back to the second level. You know, that's one of the things that we talk about all the time is let's get them back to the secondary, and then, you know, let them do their thing. But that requires everybody to do their job, not just the offensive line. Tight end group does a terrific job on the edges. The receivers have got to block the fourth player on the perimeter. And a lot of times for us, the quarterback is either checking the play or he's making decisions relative to run pass option, perimeter screens, individual cuts, and controlling, you know, the perimeter of the defense. So we're handing off the ball into advantage plays. It's part of who we are, and certainly to be able to rush the ball, play good run defense, be sound in the kicking game, and win the turnover margin, I think, is always critical.
Coach, you've coached a lot of football. Have you ever been a part of a 20-play, 90-yard drive, 10-26, to literally seal the game that starts that far deep in your territory?
No, that's the first, Gus. I'm telling you, I don't know. And, you know, I don't know that you start that possession thinking that's what's going to happen. Just a really unique turn of events, you know, a lot of situational ball, a lot of third down conversions, you know, short yardage situations. And then once we kind of got going, I do think that there was a little bit of strategy there relative to not giving them the ball back. And then once we kind of got it into, that 2 minute range, it's like, okay, how can we finish the game and not give them the ball back here? So, great situational football there at the end. Certainly proud of the staff, and the players executed, some of the things that we work hard on, you know, from an analytics and, you know, situational football standpoint showed up in that possession. So, really, really good to see that, and certainly to keep our defense off the field and really, you know, game over, right? So if we score there, we give them the ball back. It's an 8-point game and they've got some hope. But, to do that, I think was, what was needed and certainly well done by the players.
Coach, you went for it twice on fourth down. That first one though, is that just confidence in your team? Obviously where the ball placement is and it's kind of manageable. Levi getting that sneak in, but I guess when you decide to go for it on your side of the field, you know, if you don't, they're right there able to score. Is that based off of confidence in your team?
Well, I think it's a little bit of everything. You know, I think we work hard in the off season, you know, on our strategy, relative to the analytics. You know, we spend a lot of time every year. I think this is our third year, really using that approach. And, you know, it's interesting. I think it's, I think it's a great, research project if you haven't spent much time on it, but there's no question that it benefits your team to go for it. You know, fourth and one, the percentage of success, the advantages of keeping the ball, you know, you only get so many possessions a game. You know, in reality of the exchange of the ball, the field position, I think that's a little bit of old school thinking. Now, there's times when you need to do that, but there's also times in the game relative to the score, you know, how much time's left in the game, the strength of your team, strength of their team. So we certainly are into all of those things, and that was what was called for in that those moments.
All right, Coach, that puts a wrap on Arkansas State. Let's look ahead. Saturday morning, it's homecoming for you guys, taking on Texas State. When you look at this matchup, what do you see when you put them on tape?
You know, Texas State is 2-5, but, you know, I don't necessarily see a 2-5 team when I turn the film on. You know, I really think Jake Spavadal has done a good job. His team has improved. You know, they, much like Arkansas State, they went heavy into the transfer portal and added probably 30 players to their team. So, you know, they've really taken a wholesale approach in the recruiting. They didn't sign a high school player last year, so they went all transfers, and they probably have 7 or 8 in the 2-deep on both sides of the ball. I do think they're better up front on offense. They've got a really athletic quarterback that can extend and escape and can run the ball. Great group of receivers and backs, tough to tackle, and a tough match in the pass game. They're always good on special teams. The running back coach there does a fantastic job. They've given us fits in the past in that area. And then, defensively, the front seven is much improved. I think they're more physical. They're tackling better. And really they played better defense as a whole. When you look at the points in the total offense, they had a little breakout a couple weeks back. Where they had 24 players out for 2 weeks for COVID-19. So, you know, this team is, you know, I think they've had a little bit of a unique experience so far, but I do think I see an improved team and one that we're going to have to be ready for.
We got another one of those Saturday, Thursday weeks. At least both of them will be a Cajun Field, Coach. Always appreciate the time and look for win number 7. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
All right, Gus. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. I'll see you around.
All right, so that's head coach Billy Napier. When we come back, hour number 2. We'll hear from coaches Tim Rebo, Willie Fritz, and Frank Salfo. Top of this hour, though, we're going to focus a little bit more on your New Orleans Saints and Pels getting that win. I promise you'll hear more from the monster, Jonas Valanciunas, next on ESPN New Orleans.